Father, we come today before you, Heavenly Father, acknowledging our need today, and that our number one need is you. There are many things in the world that people think they need, but we need you more than we need all of them. And Father, today as your people, we pray that you will impress on our hearts as we begin what we consider a new year. We pray that you would guide our steps in this year. We pray that you would go before and prepare the way. We pray that you would protect us from harm and from evil. And we do pray, dear Lord, that you might work in our lives in ways that will honor you. And most of all, we pray that you will give us a heart to seek you, because without that, we will not seek you, because other things will come in and will take the priority. It is a matter of the heart. It is a matter of whether our heart desires you more than it desires all other things. So we pray today as we come, Lord, as your people, that you would give us that heart to seek after you as we have never sought after you before. And you have told us in your word that when we seek you with our whole heart, that you will be found of us. So, Lord, today, take your word and use it in our hearts, we pray, for your glory and for your purposes. And we ask it in Christ's name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're among those who like to take the notes, fill in the blanks, so you have something to look at later, now would be the time to do that. Also, you can always find sometime later on, sometimes as early as the next day, you can find the notes, and you can also listen to these messages at snccc.net. So here we are at the beginning of another year. I'm sure many of you have probably heard that little thing where the person says, Lord, I haven't done anything wrong today. I haven't thought any bad thoughts. I haven't said anything wrong. I haven't offended anybody. I haven't done anything I shouldn't do, but Lord, I'm going to be getting up here in a few minutes, and after that, I'm going to need your help really bad. So here we are at the beginning of a new year, and how's it going for you so far? 11 hours and 45 minutes into the new year. By the way, there are 52 Sundays remaining, because we are in a 53 Sunday year. Isn't that wonderful? We get a bonus Sunday this year. And you all are already ahead of the curve, just like Jason Marshall was talking about, because you're here today and you've got the head start. And I hope you've got the head start right here too, because this is a lot more than just about a Bible reading plan. This is about being in the Word of God. I tell you, the Word of God. I remember the chaplain of Bourbon Street said, the little lady comes to him and she said, Brother Bob, I have trouble understanding Revelation. He said, then get back in Matthew. Get back in Matthew. But if we will be in the Word of God will do its work. Amen? But it won't if we don't get into the Word. That's what Awana's all about. Well, people my age don't have a wand. But do you have one of these at home? Or maybe you have it like somebody in my Sunday school class today on that little tablet. I said, you know what? If Moses had had that and had broken it, he could have gone and replaced it at Best Buy. But if you got one of these, yeah, it don't matter. King James, that's all right. You find a word you don't know, look it up. That's what I used to do. Or the NIV or whatever. But the thing is to be in the Word of God. And you know, it's a time to seek God. We're entering a new year. We know that it's a year of uncertainty. You read the headlines. I know there's always negative headlines. But folks, we're living in an unprecedented time. When you take everything that's happening economically in Europe and here in the United States, and then you take everything that's happening in the Middle East, and I don't know how close you follow that, and some other things that are going on right now, I mean, we are heading into some really, no doubt, turbulent times. Forget the Mayan thing. Forget that. They did human sacrifices. Their religion was based on multiple gods, divination, astrology, and human sacrifice. Are those the people you want to be going to to learn what's going to happen? You can read about it right here, and it's reliable. And we don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the time that we live in, and how many would agree that they are somewhat dangerous and complicated times. The Apostle Paul wrote that perilous times will come. In the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous means what? Dangerous. Fraught with all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of traps. And that is the kind of day that we live in today. So if there's ever been a time when we need to be seeking the Lord, it is now. So I'm not going to tell you anything today that you don't already know. But we need to be seeking the Lord. And you say, well, I know the Lord. We'll be talking about that a little bit. Yeah, we know the Lord. But we still need to be seeking the Lord. And it's really interesting, but the scripture says so. It says that as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot. Now let me ask you something today. And even if you're not a Bible scholar, you might be able to answer this one. How many people were seeking God in Noah's day? I'll give you a clue. Most of them died in the flood. How many? And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Now, they might have had some churches, I don't know. But having churches and seeking God are two different things. Even being in church on Sunday morning and seeking God are two different things. Are you listening? So we need to be seeking God because these are those days. And yes, if we seek God, we're going to be in the minority, no doubt. If we're seeking God, we're going to be out of the ordinary. If we seek God, some people are probably going to think we are crazy. And others are going to think we are irritating. But that's all right because we need to do the right thing. And as God's people, this is a time to be seeking after the Lord. And there are so many things out there vying for our attention, and most of them aren't worth much. But seeking the Lord, that is one thing that will pay dividends immediately, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and all the way into eternity. Can I hear an amen? That is one thing that is for sure. But we get in this thing where we are going through the motions, but we aren't really seeking God. That's pretty much what John Cash's theme was when he came and shared with us that day. But it is absolutely true. And so there are many, many things vying for our attention. But hey, being in church now and then, that's not the same thing. Or even every Sunday isn't exactly the same thing as seeking God. But we need to be seeking Him. So why don't people seek God? There are a lot of people out there call themselves Christians, but they're not seeking God. And those are the people that really, as a minister, puzzle me the most. Somebody wrote a book years ago, a lot of things I don't understand. Well, that's one of the things I don't understand. I say I know Jesus as Savior. I say I've given my life to Him. And yet I don't see any need to actively be seeking God. Somehow the fact that I went to church when I was younger, or somehow the fact that I still darken the door four or five times a year, and I still believe certain basic things in my head and in my mind, somehow I think that that is enough, and I don't think that I have a need to really be actively seeking God on a daily basis. That puzzles me tremendously. What kind of thinking is this? But it's true, and it's everywhere that we look. So why do these things happen? I don't know. Here's a few suggestions. And this is the first blank. We don't see the need. We think believing is enough. Well, yeah, I believe. So why do I have to be reading my Bible every day? Why do I have to be down there at that church every time that the door is open? I believe, and that's enough. And so this person is letting us know right up front that for them, things like reading their scripture, things like seeking the Lord in prayer, and things like being in the house of the Lord are nothing but a formality, because if they weren't just a formality, they wouldn't feel they could live without it. I'm telling you the truth. But we think believing is just enough. Well, I already believe. I already know the Lord. Good for you. James said, oh, the demons, yeah, they believe big time. And every time they think about it, they tremble. But I haven't seen any of them repenting yet. And I haven't seen any of them seeking God. Dana, is it all right if I pick on you a minute? Y'all heard Dana and Tony are engaged to be married now? Y'all heard that? And, see, somebody just heard it for the first time. But it's okay. It's not a secret or anything. All right? Now, Tony just happens to be on a ski trip or something this week. But I'll tell you what. If Tony was here today, if he was here, if he wasn't skiing, if he was here, where do you think he'd be sitting in the church this morning? Do you think he'd be over here next to Tommy Sullivan? Do you think he'd be over here next to Janet Rowland? No, you know where he would be. Now, Tony, I haven't heard it straight from his lips. Maybe I'll ask him sometime, but I think if you ask him if he loves Dana, he would say that he does, right? Now, he says that, and suppose, and they're now engaged to be married. They just got engaged here a little over a week ago, and suppose then he said to us, he said, listen, I don't see this thing where I need to be looking to be with her two or three times a week. I already know her. What more do you want from me? How would that make you feel? You might be cutting that engagement a little short. So this thing of believing is enough, forget that. That's a bunch of garbage. Just because we know the Lord doesn't mean we don't need to be actively seeking the Lord every single day of our lives. Number two, no spiritual hunger. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's the next part of that verse? They will be filled. Not they might. Not some will. They will. But only the ones that are hungry and only the ones that are thirsty. And so, if we see the person, including ourselves, not really actively seeking the Lord, what does that tell us? There's no hunger. There's no desire. There's no thirst. You see your child pushing that plate away day after day. After a while, you'd start getting concerned. Let's go to the doctor. Let's find out why Johnny or Mary or whoever doesn't have an appetite. Something wrong. No hunger. Number three, we think we're okay on our own. Everything's going pretty good. I haven't lost my job yet. I haven't lost my job yet. You know, the mortgage is being paid. There's food on the table. I'm doing all right. Now, if the times really get hard, then I'll start seeking the Lord more. Have you noticed that that happens sometimes? And I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying don't wait until. But we just all tend to be that way. Yeah, it's going pretty good. I don't really need the Lord right now. Yeah, I know where he is if I need him. I know his number. I'll dial him up. Oh. Number four, daily walk, not a priority. And that's what happens when our belief is more or less just a formality. And so in those cases, daily walk, what's that? That requires time. That requires a little effort. Sometimes that's a little bit downright inconvenient. So So there's really no interest in that daily walk. We're comfortable. If I can be in church again a few times a year and I can keep that connection there and feel okay about myself, then why should I pursue a daily walk? Number five, other things get in the way. Now, we can stop right there a second. Why do other things get in the way? Isn't it because we let them? But other things get in the way, and there's no proactive plan. You all know, proactive, go ahead and act before there's a problem. Go ahead and act. A stitch in time saves nine. Go ahead and act now to ward off problems later. Preventative maintenance on your automobile. Has anybody ever heard the phrase preventative maintenance? It's better to spend $90 today on that serpentine belt than $300 for a valve job 3 months from now. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. But there's no proactive plan. And if we do not have a proactive plan, then whatever is a priority in our lives, we have a proactive plan for it. We may not realize it, but we do. And if we don't have a proactive plan for it, what does that automatically tell us? It's not a priority. Oh, but I got so many things. We all do. We all do. So it's just a matter of, and that's the value of something like this. Proactive plan. Okay, I'm going to do this. I got a proactive plan. Huh? How many of you would start on a plan right now? You say, oh, it's the first year, I'm going to lose some weight. Now, I'm not going to ask for any hands on that one. I'm going to lose some weight, and I think I will skip at least one or two meals here and there per quarter. How much weight do you think you would lose? No proactive plan. So if you don't have a proactive plan, you're not serious about it. It's not a priority. Because there's always going to be those other things. There's always going to be the unexpected. There's always going to be the interruptions. There's always going to be the reasons. So those are some of the reasons. But listen, we need to seek the Lord. If we don't know Him, we need to seek Him for salvation and to get into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we do know Him, we need to be seeking Him to get to know Him better every single day. And to know His will and His purpose for our lives. How can we actually have His guidance and direction on a daily basis if we aren't seeking Him? I know there are people that check in with their husband or their wife 5 or 6 times a day on that cell phone. Or with the kids or whoever. We stay in touch, don't we? Because if we don't, we don't know. Know what's going on. So we need to be seeking the Lord so we can have His guidance and know His will and He can speak to us. When is the last time you can say the Lord spoke to you? And if the only time the Lord speaks to you is when you hear a sermon, something is wrong. Because that means you're not in the Word in between. Because if you were, He'd be speaking to you there too. Amen? I love preaching and all that, but I want you in the Word during the week. All I'm doing is a facilitator a little bit. That's all. But it's God's Word that does the work. Okay, number one, we should seek His presence. There was a little book or something that was out years ago, Practicing the Presence of Jesus, that might surprise you as a title for a book. But it's just being aware of His presence in everything that we do as we go through our day, practicing the presence of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you was one of the old songs we sang. Being aware of His presence on a daily basis. We should seek His favor. Favor and grace are basically the same word in the Greek. Free gift, undeserved. He dotes on us, but we need to be seeking His favor. You say, I need to be seeking. Yeah, you need to be seeking His favor. He already loves me and all that, but I need to be seeking His favor. And that ties right in with knowing His will Because if I'm in His will, and if I'm in His purpose, and if I'm doing what He wants me to do, and if I'm pleasing Him, I'm going to be in His favor. Amen? And we love our children, but there are moments we're not pleased with them. So, we need to be seeking His favor. And yes, we need to be seeking His guidance. No, I don't have the answers. I don't have the answer sometimes for the most fundamental thing. But I thank God that I serve a God who does know all the answers. I've gotten where if I don't know something, I go to Google for a lot of the just the earthly temporal stuff. But I can't find those answers on Google. I can only get those from Him. His guidance. Do we need His guidance? Have any of you ever played that game when you're out on the road and there's nobody around and you take both hands off the wheel just to see how long it is before you have to? You ever done that? I have. But let me tell you something. In life, don't do that. Don't do that. But the point is simply this, that if we're not seeking His continual guidance, how long will it take us before we stray? Any of us? No matter how well we know the Lord, how long will it take us, really? Not long. Not long. Not long. Ooh. And His will. And that's one we have to really be. We're going to, a little later, talk honesty. Do we really want His will? That's one you got to be careful with. Lord, I want to know Your will. I want to know Your will. Do you really want to know His will? Because the minute I say, Lord, I want to know Your will, I'm implying that once He reveals that will, I'm ready to go that way. I'm ready to go that direction, aside from my personal comfort. Or whatever it may be. But I guarantee you, I'd rather be going through a little discomfort and be in His will than have everything going well on the surface and not be in His will. Number five, we should seek Him often. Number six, we should seek Him early. First thing, like the little girl's answer while they're up. In the morning, yes, when we wake up, seek Him early. Seek Him early. And something's going on. Don't wait until it's all out of hand and now you've thrown up your hands and saying, Lord, help me. How many have done that? We've all done it, haven't we? But we don't have to do that. We don't have to wait that long. We can seek Him early. And when we can avoid that situation. Number seven, seek Him earnestly, which is just the opposite of just going through the motions or whatever. We seek Him earnestly. We seek Him honestly. Number eight, we seek Him honestly. Very, very important. If we're not even honest with ourselves, how can we be honest with Him? So, when we're dealing with the Lord, honesty is the best policy. Lord, I got some unforgiveness in my heart. Help me with it. Until we pray that, we're not ready to say, Lord, give me more love. Got to get rid of the hostility. Come before Him honestly. He already knows the truth anyway, doesn't He? But until we're honest, He can't deal with me. Same way when you're dealing with children. You may know, but until they know, no. It's right here. Number nine, consistently. And y'all know those graphs, right? That go like this. That's the way a lot of people's spiritual lives are, and that's because we're not consistent. We need a straight line, but we need a straight line like the higher ground thing, like this. That's what we need. And consistency will do that for us. It'll help us avoid this pattern. 10, persistently. I can tell you stories of people in the Bible. Old Jacob. Did Jacob have a lot? Did Jacob have a lot of faults? Huh? But he had persistence. And when he figured out that the one he was wrestling with was the one who could bless him, He had stolen a blessing about 20 years earlier. But when he figured out that he was with an angel that could bless him, he said, I won't let you go, even if it is morning, and even if the sun is coming up, and even if there are chores to do, I won't let you go until you bless me. The little Syrophoenician woman says to Jesus, I have a daughter oppressed by an evil spirit. I need her to be healed. And he says, you're not a Jew. I can't help you. Go away. Jesus even said it isn't proper to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. Some of us would take that as an insult. She said, yes, Lord, but the dogs get the crumbs. And because of that, Jesus said, because of her persistence, he said, you have great faith, lady. Your petition is granted you. How many times did we stop just before there might have been victory? Just before the answer might have come? We seek him persistently. And of course, these we know. We seek him in prayer, and we seek him in his word. And you can even add there, we seek him with others. I should have put that in there. Not forsaking the gathering of yourselves together, as the custom of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Here are some questions that occurred to me as I prepared for this message. They're just questions for any of us individually to ponder. Why would we want to wait until we're in trouble or out of options to seek the Lord? Does that make any sense? But we do, don't we? Number two, why would other things or concerns seem more important to us than seeking the Lord? Ooh. That's one where we have to look inside. Number three, why would we assume that there might be a more favorable time to seek the Lord later? Why would we assume that? There may not be a later. You thought about that? There might not be a later. That's why he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Why would it say that if there might be a situation where he can't be found? Call upon him while he is what? Near. Available. He's available to you right now. Right now is when we need to be seeking the Lord. Why would we think that we are qualified to decide how important seeking the Lord should be? We're treading dangerously here. Is his importance now determined by our subjective opinion? Would we not tremble if we discerned such arrogance in others? And would we not be right in doing so? The Lord deserves number one, period, right up front. No questions asked, no explanations needed. And it's not up to me to say, well, whenever the time is more opportune, I think I'll seek the Lord. That is a statement of arrogance. And number five, if one, seeking God is our first duty as cognizant created beings, and if two, seeking him is the first step in establishing relationship, and of course seeking him through Christ, the only way, and also three, it's the key to maintaining and growing our relationship with him once we know him, should not seeking him be our, first of all, primary objective, second of all, chief pursuit, and third of all, the greatest joy of our hearts at all times? May the Lord give us such a heart in 2012. May it be the year. I can't tell tell you what will happen to you this year. I can't tell you that. The only thing I can tell you is that if you actively seek the Lord, He'll be there for you. And you'll grow. That I can tell you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord. I think of that song, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard him gently speaking, saying, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Oh, Lord, and then it says, here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Lord, that is what we need. That is our prayer today as your people. Give us a heart for you in 2012, and that whatever else happens, we can say, I'm seeking the Lord. I'm walking with the Lord. He's with me. He's at my side. He's guiding me. He's teaching me. He's sustaining me. He's making me aware of His love. He's working in me. He's using me. He's working through me. And all the glory is to Him. Lord, that is our prayer today. Work in us as never before. And give us a heart for you while the world runs after other things. May we be pursuing you. May you be the pursuit of our heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.